At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Argyle. This is Michael's Joker moment.
Just hearing you say that, like, sends such a shiver down my spine. It's just like, oh no, that means I watched the second half of Argyle. Oh God. Sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
I watched the second half of Argyle.
And this is the other half.
Then why not even why did we watch this movie? We watched this movie because that's the name of the game. We watched it because we're like, we've been having it too good. We've been having good for too long.
We got to get into the weird movies that a lot of people watch.
Yes.
Heard weird mixed things about it.
Why are we still making movies like this? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, nobody came in and was like, this looks fucking awful. Like, this looks bad.
The concept is like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's just executed on such a bland level.
It's so bad. It's every aspect of this movie is bad. I think that's the thing, is
it's just so mid everything. Like, I don't think it's actively bad, but it's
just
so,
that it's long.
It's so mid that it drips.
Yeah.
So it drips into being terrible.
Yeah.
Which is very weird to say, but like, you know it if you see it. You know, when you eat something, when you eat a food, right?
Yeah.
And that food is just okay.
Yeah.
But it really didn't satisfy any part of your hunger, satisfy a craving.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It really was just empty calories. And then it kind of turns into like, well, that was actually bad.
Well, and it's also like, imagine that, and then you also spent like a lot of money on it, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what this feels like as well, where it's like, imagine like,
but the money's my time.
The money is time. That's what it is. Cause it's like, this movie is fucking long.
It is
like,
long.
I've heard like, this is going to sound like false, but like, I thought I was like an hour in, and there was, and I was only like 30-45 minutes in, and there was a whole 56 yes. almost hour much like long left, and yes. I was like, how, we're almost done, right? Like,
yeah, dude,
you feel the same?
Bad.
You feel the same?
It was a lot. There are some movies we watch where I'm like constantly looking at the scroll bar, make sure I don't watch over
right,
my half.
Right, right, right.
This is one of those.
Oh my God.
Where I was just like,
God,
how
dude.
Far are we? Ooh, we're only halfway.
Yeah.
God, we're almost done.
No, yeah, no. It's bad. Well, and it's also just like, because it's like, it's expensive also. So it was like a big budget movie. A lot of big names
it
in
is,
it.
But it looks like ass.
It
dude.
Looks like utter shit. Where the fuck? I mean, no, the money went to like all the big names. Like, right? Obviously, like, you gotta get John Cena in there, and like
Henry
Dua
Cavill,
Lipa. And
Dua Lipa, who's in it for like a minute.
Yeah, it's like,
is she even in your half?
No, she's never in my half of the movie. I just know it because I've seen the trailer a billion times.
Yeah, she's like in the, she's literally, if you look at like the,
but she's in the poster.
She's in the poster as like the second frame person.
Yeah.
Ahead of,
I saw that too.
Ahead of Bryce Dallas Howard, who is like the main protagonist.
She's the protagonist of the movie. She plays Ellie.
Yeah, Ellie, yeah.
Yeah, Ellie. Ah, God, what a piece of fucking shit this was. And here's the thing, too, is like, it might have just been sort of mid in the first half, but the second half is bad because it explains, like, the second half is mostly flashback, explaining, like, who Agent Argyle is, like, what happened, like, all that stuff. And so it's like, it's like spoon feeding everything to you. Like, who do you think Agent Argyle is, you know?
Like the real one?
Yeah.
Or the fake one?
Who is the real Agent Argyle?
Oh, I thought he was like he's a guy who defected or whatever from the big government, the big evil corporation.
But you don't know who Agent Argyle is?
As a person? No, I don't know who he is.
Excellent.
No.
This is going to be very exciting for me then.
I will say, the end of my half was a twist that I saw coming maybe in the last 3 minutes before they revealed it.
What was it?
Well, we'll get to it.
Oh.
But
yeah, that's fair.
I got one twist. We got one entertaining thing about this movie. I'm going to hold on to that.
It's just like everyone in this movie is trying, except I will say for Sam Rockwell. He looks bored as fuck in this
movie. But I feel
like
that's kind of what his character's supposed to be. Maybe. He's kind of like bored as fuck.
But there's moments in this movie where he's supposed to be passionate, like, because, like, really? He does care about, like, certain parts of the things that are happening, and he just looks dead. Like, he's like, I don't know, man.
They should have never shaved him. Earlier in the movie, he had a beard and a long hair. Yeah. And I was like, that guy
looks
cool.
There's some bad hair in this movie, too. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, Agent Argyle's hair is bad.
Dude, I can't believe they did Henry Cavill
so dirty.
Fucking dirty. This motherfucker comes off The Witcher looking like
incredible.
The biggest thirst trap around. Mm-hmm. And he gets the goofiest ass haircut. I guess it's just to be like, hey, man, look at that widow's peak. Doesn't look so good when you look like a fucking Duke Nukem hair.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's bad when you have worse haircut in what is it, Hellworld?
Yeah.
The earliest, like, he looked better in that than he does in this.
He looked way better in that. Yeah.
It's just bad. Like, everything looks bad. Like, it's crazy, too, because I watched a little bit of, like, behind the scenes about, like, how they shot certain scenes. And, like, a lot of stuff was, some stuff was done, like, practically or, like, in sets. Even the stuff that was done practically in sets, it's lit so poorly that it looks fake still.
It
like,
looks weird.
I don't know, man. This movie just fucking awful.
It blows, man. It blows ass.
Like, Ethan and I, before recording the episode, had to have just a moment where we had to, like, psych ourselves up for this. Because this was just bad. Like, this was just awful. And it's also kind of interesting, too, because, like, we just got off of watching Snakes on a Plane. So this has Sam Jackson in it, by the way.
Yeah,
as
it does.
Yes.
I saw him for a second in my
life. And it is like watching Sam Jackson in this movie. It's just like he's still kind of giving it, like he's still trying, but it's like it's not the same. Like,
yeah, it's no Snakes on a Plane.
No, it isn't, but which also, is crazy to say.
It's weird. I mean, this movie has the issue of wink and nod shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Which Snakes on a Plane does not have.
No, yeah.
And it does feel like what you're saying, like we're still making movies like this. And
yeah.
I think watching this back to back to something like Snakes on a Plane, which isn't a good movie
at
all.
No, listen to our episode. It's not good, but it's fun.
But it's fun. Yeah. There's energy to it. And maybe it's just because we're sick of movies like this. You know, this is very Marvelized about like, well, I can't do that. Well, I'm in a situation I can't be in. Oh, and the whole movie's all about Bryce Dallas Howard becoming brave, I guess.
Yeah. Not having anxiety anymore.
Yeah. And it's like, anyone would have anxiety if you're going to like spy situations. But it's like, but she has, you know,
not
other
prepared
issues
for
and
it.
Stuff, but it's just, it's such a just weird.
Like, let me tell you how my part opens up as a good example for this,
sure.
Like, Marvelification, right? Yeah. So they arrive in France because they're meeting up with Alfie, the Sam Jackson character. They're meeting up with him in France. And it's Sam Rockwell and Bryce Dallas Howard, or Ellie in the car together. And he says,
you like France? Tell you what, French people, they give me the crepes. Get it? Crepes? They have more where they came from, let me tell you.
That's the opening of my half of the movie, and I'm like, what are we doing here?
What is,
like,
this, my Twitch stream? Like, what is this?
Like, Sam Rockwell, one of the most charming motherfuckers ever put on screen, can't save this awful fucking dialogue. Like, it's so bad. It's like the Marvelication. It's like they know the joke is bad, and so then he has to address that the joke is bad, laugh at it himself, and it's like, why are we, like,
just
cut that out. Like, the movie's already long enough.
It is so long,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God, dude.
It
anyway,
is so long.
That's one of the examples.
Apparently, this is a spinoff, apparently.
A book.
It's a spinoff of the Kingsman franchise.
Yes.
I've never seen a Kingsman movie. Have you seen a Kingsman movie?
I saw the first one. I thought it was okay.
Okay.
And I didn't. And then they made more, and I was like, what are we doing?
I heard someone got better, but I don't know. I didn't watch any of them.
One was fine. This director, I think his name's Matthew Vaughn, right?
Matthew Vaughn, yeah.
I've seen a lot of his stuff. He's made Kick-Ass, which I think everyone like.
Yeah, Kick-Ass is all right.
He made a movie called Stardust, which was like genuinely good, with Robert De Niro.
X-Men First Class.
Oh, yes, X-Men First Class. Okay. Another good one.
Snatch,
yeah. So he's made some good stuff. Or wait, did he direct Snatch? I thought Snatch was directed by, I think he wrote Snatch. I think Snatch was directed by Guy Ritchie,
right? I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's okay.
Apologize.
Hey, man, good thing I'm here to set us straight.
He did direct two of the Kingsman movies. I think the first two, maybe?
I think he directed the first one, and then he directed the second one. Yeah. So, like, he's a pretty good producer. He's made some good movies. Jesus fucking Christ, he's really lost the sauce here, though. Like, it's also apparently based off, and this is the other aspect of the movie that's interesting, it's based off a book. An actual book.
He directed every Kingsman movie. Never mind.
Well, there you go.
Three of them.
It's based off a book written by a woman named Ellie. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows her identity, and people think that the book, the original book, was written by Taylor Swift.
I do remember hearing that. Yes.
Yes, because they've said that once the movie came out, they were going to announce who the actual author of the book was, because it's, like, mysterious. Uh-huh. But then the movie fucking bombed, and so they were like, well, let's not reveal
it's who not
the
worth it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Not worth it. Yeah. That person's identity.
Who cares?
Yeah. I wonder if the book is better, but, like...
I don't imagine it is.
I mean, maybe in a book it might be more sincere, but, like, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, also, I didn't know that this was supposed to be a spinoff of The Kingsman, but luckily I waited during the credits where they absolutely tie it right back into the Kingsman franchise. Oh. And as a person who's only seen the first one, I'm like, who fucking knows what this is? Like, I don't understand who this guy is supposed to be. I don't understand why this is important. Like, so, yeah, I don't know. Good to know.
There's a lot of issues with this movie, and the main issue I have is, well, not the main issue, but one of the big issues is the rules, they don't really stick to them, and they don't really make any sense.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They just kind of are muddy, and it's just like, why do we have this weird rule of, like, for those who don't know, the main premise is Ellie is a writer.
A writer of spy fiction.
Spy fiction. Like Ian Fleming, right?
Yeah.
The Bonds guy.
Yeah.
And they're really popular. They're like, at this point, it feels like Hunger Games level of popular.
Right.
But everything she writes comes true.
Actually real.
And it's like, is it though? But it's not. It's like vaguely true. It's like, I'm Argyle, and it's Sam Rockwell's character. And it's like, well, you're not Argyle then. You're someone else.
He is someone else. He's not Argyle.
Fucking, I don't know. It's very confusing. Maybe this explains later.
It is somewhat explained. But that's the other problem with the movie. This movie over-explains. Like, it never wants you to be confused or concerned. Like, whenever there is some kind of, like, interesting premise that's brought up, it's immediately explained away so you're not too worried about what's going on. Like, I'm like, this is a spy thriller. Give us some intrigue. Give him some little bit of, like, mystique here, you know? Like, let us pick it. Like, I'm not fucking stupid. I'm watching an R-rated movie, right? Is this R-rated?
I don't think it's R-rated.
Oh, is it PG-13?
I don't think anyone says fuck a single time.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they do.
I'm tired of these motherfucking crepes in this motherfucking plane. Maybe it's not R-rated, but it's like, I'm not a five-year-old. Like, are five-year-olds watching this fucking movie? Maybe.
PG-13.
I don't know. I'm just like, it looks like shit. I don't like how much they explain everything. I'm like, let's... And I think the other thing, too, and like, whenever I say stuff like, I hate when a movie explains stuff to me. I know that there's probably people out there who are like, well, sometimes you're annoyed that movies don't explain enough to you. It's more like, I don't like when a movie tells me how I should be feeling at a specific moment, right? Mm. It's like, I feel like that's kind of the problem here, is like, there's moments where it's like, oh, man, like, Ellie's like in a moment of like crisis, and she's telling us that she's in a moment of crisis. And then, you know, Sam Rockwell's telling us how we should be thinking about this.
You're not trusting
thing.
The actors to act enough to make people understand.
Yeah. It's like, let us feel for a moment.
People in real life though are pretty bad at sometimes letting people feel, you know, they get to be told what to be told.
Yeah. But movies are the one place where we can feel something, man. You know, the one place where you can feel something.
Yeah.
The only place that you can feel things should be in movies.
True.
And
social media should tell you what to feel.
Yeah.
All right.
Tell me how the movie fucking opens
up with fucking Apple Original. And I'm like, Apple, y'all that fucked up. Y'all got some bangers.
Original? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. Killers of Flower Moon.
Man, they really all can't be bangers. I bet they were expecting this to fund Killers of the Flower Moon, and this did not.
No.
Audiences were like,
I think this probably made about the same amount of money as Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah.
It's probably cost way more.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dua Lipa's there, and she has to dance with bad haircut Henry Cavill, mm-hmm. and she's like, what kind of dance do you want? It's all thrilling and stuff. It's like, do you know Dude the Whirly Bird?
The Whirly Bird.
And they're like, and she's like, must you even ask? And then they start dancing, and he puts her on his shoulders. I guess that's the Whirly Bird.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, do you know who I am? He's like, yes, I know who you are.
Who is she?
She's like, I wish you were here to capture my heart and not me, Agent Argyle. And then she snaps her fingers, and a bunch of people pull out their guns, and they all point at her him at the club.
Yeah.
And then she says, guess the Whirly Bird doesn't catch the worm. And I'm like, okay, that's actually pretty good. It's pretty stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid.
But it's like sincere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Argyle's like, okay, that was bad. But then they say, any last words? And he says, yeah, one last word. Give me a little help here, Kira. And she's like, okay. And it's just the person, it's like the Q. Or, I don't know, the gadget person.
Yeah, Q.
The gadget person.
M? M.
M is the gadget person. Yeah. Q is the leader. Okay, so it's M. M is like, I'm going to put the big the smoke up here.
We should probably watch some of those movies.
Yeah, we should probably watch some of those like James Bond movies. Probably,
yeah,
because
then we might be able to make these kind of comparisons.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we make all the Leprechaun comparisons.
Yes. Oh. I feel like something has shifted in the space time continuum.
No, we don't want Agent Leprechaun coming
definitely
in here.
Definitely not.
No. Agent
Close, Leprechaun.
Leprechaun in the service. Up to no good.
Did you recognize Kira?
No, she was only there for a second. I didn't really look at her too much.
She's from the Steven Spielberg West Side Story.
Oh, that's a good movie. That's a good movie.
That's the only good movie I feel like that poor actor has been in. Ariana DeBose, is that her name? Yeah.
That was Rachel Ziegler.
Rachel Ziegler, but no, that's not.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Rachel Ziegler is not in this movie.
No, but yeah. She's in a lot of bad movies.
She is in a lot of bad movies, too, actually. That's very fair, yeah.
And that was one of her
Snow
only
White.
Movies. Yeah. Rough one. Mm. Anyway, so then, any last words? But smoke appears, he escapes. They're in Greece. He knew exactly what I was going to do. Dua Lipa shoots at him with a machine gun, which is actually pretty cool. She's got a machine gun.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
on a motorcycle, looking all hot and stuff. Shoots him with a machine gun.
Yes, girl, give us nothing.
Give us a very quick acting job. Yeah. Longer, I don't know. She then rides off in a motorcycle, and then Kira's got shot. And they're like, oh, shit, we got to help her. But then his boss is like, no, I can't help. You got to not help her, Argyle. You got to go let the medevac do their job. You do yours. And so he takes like a goofy car and she's driving through the streets, like circling through this windy road. And he just goes on the rooftops of all these places and destroys all of them on his little goofy car.
Oh, yeah.
Chasing her.
Did you like this?
It looked like shit.
Oh, yeah.
It looked like shit. That's the problem. Is it was like, it's a cool idea. Cool concept. Looks like ass.
Yeah.
Like really bad.
Yeah, like, even such a big budget, this motherfucker be able to actually like make some.
It
cool
feels
looking,
like
yeah.
they wanted to do the really great scene in Tintin.
Yeah.
The movie.
That's
and
a great
just,
movie.
That's a great movie.
I like how we keep bringing up good like Steven Spielberg movies this entire time.
Yeah, this is good Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg's a good director.
He's a good guy.
You know?
He's a cool guy. Makes a lot of good movies. There's only he makes some flops, but not many.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about Always. Always wasn't a good movie.
BFG
I never saw, but I'm assuming it's not very good.
I assume it's not very
good. He made a real stinker
War
with
War Horse.
I never saw War Horse.
Saw
I was talking about, I'm going to talk about, oh my God.
Should we watch the Steven Spielberg Spinkers? Like the stinker movies?
Steven Stinkers.
Steven Stinkers!
We should do that. Actually, it's a lot of fun. That's all I got to do. See, I was going to talk about the movie that he made. Oh my God, the fucking video game movie.
Oh, Ready Player One.
Yeah, Ready Player One.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah,
God,
I know.
He was just trying to get some money.
That's
he had to fund West Side Story remake. Anyway, he almost slams into her. She drives off. He's riding her tail, but then his car is like basically destroyed. He can't get out. He's right by the ocean. But then he calls up John Cena. He's drinking a delicious Greek coffee, and he's like, well, this is the only way off the island. So she drives by on her motorcycle, and he just grabs her off the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that in the trailers.
And then he's like, it's about to be your last meal unless you tell me who told you we were coming. And they both talk to her, and she unlocks her phone with her eye. And they look at it. It's like, I got your information from this guy.
Who is
and it? It's the director of their secret agent organization.
Yes.
He double-crossed them.
Who
and
is it?
And they're like, I don't know his name.
I know, but do you see like the actor?
No, it's a different guy. It's not who you're thinking of.
Oh, okay, got it.
Is.
Got it.
It's some old guy.
Okay.
And they're like, yeah. So it's funny because he's also like, you're a terrorist. She's like, you're not the same as you and I. Like, we're pretty similar to each other.
You're not the same.
Sorry,
as you
I messed
and
it
I.
up. You're not so different, you and I.
You're not the same as
you're
me.
You're not the same as me. You're a big guy with a stupid haircut.
Different guy. I'm a tiny lady
I'm
with
a
different
lady.
Haircut.
I got a different haircut, and I got my legs.
We're not the same,
We're
you
not
and
the
I.
same, you and I. I'm a femme
You're
fatale.
A good guy. I'm a bad guy.
She says, we're not so different, you and
oh,
I.
Oh, yeah. That's a little different.
It makes a little more sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, everyone else sees the other thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're a terrorist and I'm not. And she's like, well, we both got orders from the same guy. And it's like, oh, shit. And then she takes a little liquid and she kills herself.
Oh, man.
And then they're like, oh, shit.
She unalived
herself. Excuse
me. That's
rough. And then they're getting calls from their boss, though, and they throw their little earpieces away. And Henry Cavill's like, shit, this whole thing's changed. Everything has changed. We have to go into hiding. Everything is different. And it zooms in on his lips, and his lips turned into Bryce Howard's lips.
Ooh.
She's reading the lines of her last book.
That's right.
Ellie is there. Ellie Conway. She wrote the book. They're in Colorado.
Ellie Conway in Colorado?
One of my favorite other books, Ellie Conway in Colorado. Really a journey about the American dream from a feminine perspective of someone in their late 30s.
In Colorado. Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
I can relate.
Very relatable.
Who's never been to Colorado.
We're not so different, you and me. Someone asks in the panel after the reading, there's a whole bunch of people in there in the audience. It's, a book publishing thing. Like, how do you make time to follow your dream? I never had time to write. She's like, you have to make time to do things that are important to you.
You have to.
And then another person pops in and is like, you're one of the few novelists that actual spies actually read. Are you a spy
that
yourself?
Spies actually read? How do they know that?
Yeah, how do they know that, Mike? How do they know
that, Mike? Is it like, are they interviewing spies?
Well,
as a spy, let me tell you.
I love her books.
Yeah.
Ellie Conway is the only source of fake fiction that I can relate to. Everything else is pure nonsense.
Day in and day out as a spy, I like to just pick people up off of motorcycles with my big muscles.
With my big muscles. Yeah. And do the whole thing. Yep.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
She's like, no, I'm not a spy. But that's what someone would say if they were a spy. Ha 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 ha. And then some guy's like, comes out as a little forward. He's like, this might be a little forward, but you got any plans tonight? You want to like go out? And she's like, no, I have a hot date tonight, actually. But thank you. Then we cut. Her hot date is hanging out with
her cat.
And writing her book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dang, what a hot date, huh?
Nice.
Hanging out with her kitty cat. By the way,
this movie playing with her pussy.
I did not think about that the entire time.
Ethan just completely collapsed. He just completely moved away from me in horror.
You can't say those words on this podcast.
I can't possibly say that.
Can't
yeah.
say words like that.
So Bryce Dallas Howard's playing with
I was just going to say, I don't really like these cats. This cat sucks.
This cat is not a nice cat.
This cat also...
I'm a big cat guy. I have a cat of my own.
Uh-huh.
She's my pride and joy. I'm not a fan of this cat.
This cat is just lame.
Yeah, it's
just
a lame cat.
It's just there to be lame.
It's also barely in the movie.
Yeah, it's very cute though.
Sure, but wait. Yeah, but then why don't you like it?
You think I just like something because it's cute?
Yes.
No, its character's boring.
I agree with you there.
It doesn't do anything.
It's flat.
It's just there.
It's a flat cat.
And also just her relationship with the cats.
My cat didn't like the movie either.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
she was not
a fan. She stuck her ass up at it and then yawned, and then she just looked out a window rather than look at the movie.
Go play with your pussy, Bryce House. Makes sense. Not very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so she's working on book 5, the last book. She just released book 4.
Oh.
So she's writing more of the story and about how the phone is like a key to the master file.
The master file.
And then once they arrive, you'll receive a call from my phone and the employers. They're in London. Mm-hmm. It's an obvious green screen. Looks like shit. Which is funny because they do seem to shoot in London, but this looks like ass.
Yeah.
It's book 5.
It's lighting, man.
Yeah. So she's like, so you'll find it in one of my people in London. You'll go find the master key. And that's the end of the book. And
Master Chief.
So she ends it. Yes, Master Chief.
Yeah.
And she says, cheers, Argo. We finished the book. She does some yoga in the morning, but then her mom calls.
Oh.
Her mom
calls. Who's her mom played by?
I do not recognize the actor.
Catherine O'Hara?
She did look familiar.
I did not recognize the actor, but...
I don't know.
Did look familiar.
What's Catherine O'Hara been in?
Mike has
made a face. What's she been in? Tell me. Maybe I've just not crossed...
Beetlejuice?
Barely remember that movie. I was too drunk when I watched it. Next.
She was in Schitt's Creek.
Never saw it.
She was in Beetlejuice 2.
Never saw that. Keep going. Anything else?
She's been in a lot of stuff. I'm kind of in shock that you've never... She was in Home Alone. She was the mom in Home Alone.
I saw that movie once.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I'm clearly talking to the wrong person. All right. Keep going.
So that is why I've not seen or recognized her, but she looked familiar.
That's fair.
I have a passing interest in Catherine O'Hara. All right?
Okay.
She's no Bryan Cranston.
She's no Bryce Dallas Howard.
Nope. Bryce Dallas Howard was in Jurassic World, which
that's
is
right.
a great
Very
movie.
Memorable.
Great movie.
Yes. And she directed the Mandalorian episode.
She directed a couple Mandalorian episodes, and she was on behind the scenes back when everyone was like, man, these Mandalorian episodes are cooking, and then they really stopped cooking.
They stopped, yeah.
They really stopped cooking.
She had to apply to Dave Filoni or whatever the fuck his name is.
She put on his hat and said,
yeah.
Yeehaw! Yeehaw! That's her also playing with her pussy.
Oh, man. This is really just making us laugh at this point,
this
isn't it?
This is the only entertainment we have.
For those not in the know, there was some behind-the-scenes footage of a bunch of the directors of The Mandalorian talking about making it.
Oh, you expect the audience not to know this, but you expect me to know who Catherine O'Hara is?
I don't... There was a massive difference. I don't know how to tell you this. That one of them is behind a Disney Plus paywall, and the other one is a very well-known actor that's been working since the 70s and 80s. But anyway, they had a behind-the-scenes bit where all the directors are talking, and there was one very cringe moment where, what the fuck, is his name Dave Filoni?
Dave Filoni, yeah.
Yeah, Dave Filoni in his stupid fucking cowboy hat. He's just explaining how actually the prequels aren't that bad, and everyone just let him go off for like what felt like 45 minutes, but it was only probably 3. And then at the end of that, they all just clapped, and they're just like, yeah, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. He knows George Lucas. Like, fucking... Who gives a shit anyway? It's just whatever. Whatever. I'm done here.
Okay.
There's your context, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Okay. So she finished the book. Mom calls.
Who's she played by? Anyway, mom
Kathy
calls.
Griffin. Kathy Griffin. So she took Adderall, started to, and read the whole thing apparently overnight.
Mm.
She doesn't like the ending though. She's like,
why doesn't she like about the ending?
She's just like, it's just fucking, it's a cliffhanger. And she's like, no, it's a cop out. You should like write an actual ending.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Mom's an asshole. And then, let's see. I wrote Spy Vision. Oh, because we went back into the spy mode. Okay.
Yes.
So then she's writing the last parts, and he's with a guy. Or sorry. She's... Ugh! There's no guy here. Argyle is with someone named Lee. Lee is there.
Argyle.
And they're in London. Or I think it's London. They say we have to go to London, though.
So it's probably London, right?
No, I don't think it's London. Maybe it's China.
I don't know, man.
I don't remember. Anyway, they're in a different country than America, which is the only country I recognize right now, brother.
Yeehaw!
That's right, baby. Anyway, so yeah, she's like, you want to enjoy the fireworks with me? And he's like, I'll show you fireworks. And they start making out. But then it's like, well, that's bad. That's actually really bad writing. I have to erase all that. And they do kind of a fun thing where it's like Argyle speaking through her a little bit, like the writer. That's kind of fun. But they really don't have anything to write about. Like, she's kind of drawing a blank.
She can't.
And then
think
she's like, Elfie, which is her cat, do you have any thoughts? And then it zooms in on a cat's head, and it turns into the worst CGI I've ever seen for a cat in a backpack.
Dude, the CGI cats in this movie, like, it's truly shocking how bad it is.
It's pretty terrible.
You know, it's like, I thought that the live-action Garfield movie was bad CGI cats, but this, way worse.
Well, Bill Murray was also the voice of Garfield, right?
That is true.
So that kind of brought some realism that I think the CGI, like, this cat's silent.
If this cat talked like Bill Murray... I believe it a bit more.
I believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe little Elfie.
Yeah.
Ellie's going to go visit her mom. Actually, she's going to go into town. And mom's like, oh, cool. That's really nice. I want to help you write your book. She's like, yeah, I figured I'd just hang out with you guys. Get a little change of scenery.
Mm-hmm. In Connecticut?
Is it Connecticut?
I don't know.
I thought it was just it was in the city. So they should just take a train ride.
Oh, okay.
So, she's going to go there. And your mom's like, you should fall in love, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so this handsome guy comes and is like, hey, is this seat taken? She's like, "Oh, yeah, actually it is." And he's like, oh, okay, shame. And he walks away. And then a long-haired guy just shows up and takes a seat without asking. She's like, oh, it's taken. He's like, whatever. Hey, you have a cat here? Look at this cat. He starts tapping on the cat. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. You want to be left alone? And he pulls out an Argyle book, starts reading it, and then sees her photo at the end and recognizes her. Mm. And he says, oh, my God, you're the person who wrote this. This is your best yet. I love it. And she's like, oh, cool. Yeah, well, what do you do? And he's like, I'm in espionage.
Mm.
You know, that's the thing. It's like, your books are really accurate, but the one thing you don't do is, like, the accuracy of how we look. Like, if we look like Argyle, we'd stick out like a sore thumb. But we just look like this guy. So it's pretty unrealistic. Anyway, so just to let you know, the next fan coming is not going to stop here for an autograph. You need to listen to me and hug me as tight as you can whenever things shit hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what are you talking about? And it's like, some guy comes and is like, hey, do you want can I get your autograph? And they immediately start fighting because pulls out like a pen, presses a button, turns into like a syringe. And he's going to get her.
Oh my God.
But then this guy.
Now, how'd this fight scene look?
Honestly, all right.
That's the one thing I feel like Matthew Vaughn's got like up on a lot of other directors. He knows how to make a nice... easy to read fight scene.
It is a very easy to read fight scene. It's not like, oh shit, this is crazy, but it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's solid.
Yeah.
So they have a whole fight scene where they're fighting on the the train, and she's freaking out the whole time. And then this is weird thing where it keeps cutting between this bearded guy and Henry Cavill,
mm-hmm.
Henry Cavill's character. She keeps imagining him as her character, and it's a fun fight. Pistol ends up in her lap, like he did say it was going to end up. Then she tries leaving. The spy guy stops her. She gets put into a bathroom, and then some two ladies start fighting with the spy guy. She sees a dude who asks her about being a spy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm not a spy. That dude, by the way, who asked her about being the spy is the same guy who was in that book club who was like, are you a spy?
Oh, shit.
So, yeah,
what's the spy?
That's why he brought it up, because he's someone who reads books.
Yeah. And is a spy.
And is a spy.
Yeah.
So he's about to kill her, but then the guy actually ties a little like thing around her waist, and then they explode the back of the train, and they fly off in a, I don't know, like a parachute type situation, like a wing. I don't know what you call like the ones. It's not parachuting because you're not going down.
Right.
It's not paragliding because you're not gliding. Parasailing?
Okay.
Parasailing?
Sure. Thing? The thing you're holding on to.
Yeah, you're kind
of holding
on to.
That's a parasail.
Yeah. He's doing that. So he gets in one of those, and they fly off, and she faints. She wakes up in a cabin,
mm-hmm.
and he's, this point, he's shaved. He's, you know, Sam Rockwell.
Clean shaved, yeah.
His name, reveals his name is Aiden. He's like, do you recognize me? I'm sorry, I cut my hair and I shaved. Just so you know, this guy, Carlos, he works for Vision. So he didn't explain, like, this movie seems to explain a lot. It doesn't explain why he cut his hair or shaved. He should just been
just
like.
Just because he was probably itchy.
But he's been growing it for so long. Like, he said it was his real hair.
Yeah.
So, like, why wasn't he just like, well, I need to change for identity purposes so people don't recognize me?
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on? Anyway.
Yeah, so how long were you working on that thing so people didn't recognize
exactly.
you?
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so he's like, okay, so that guy, Carlos, who works for the Division, they're the bad guys, just like in your books that you write about.
Mm-hmm.
He works for this director called Witter.
Yeah.
And it's Bryan Cranston.
Yep.
And he's like, he's like a bad guy and stuff. And
she recognize Bryan Cranston?
No, because she doesn't see him. It's just
it's just a flash.
It's a flash thing of
us
seeing him.
Got it. Okay.
And Brian, why would she recognize him?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
And then he sees that it's a sees that there's like Brian Cranston's like, there's a turd coat. That guy, that Aiden guy, he's a turd coat. He's gonna steal the master files. And then they're like, Ellie's like, why would they care about me? And he's like, you're a fortune teller. It's like everything that happened in your book, even book 5. She's like, you read book 5? It's like, the Division has eyes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they are in there right now, and he pulls up like a screen. She's like, you're a pervert. You're stalking me. It's like, no. Inside your house, they put this up. This is I hack their feed.
Right. They're the perverts.
Yeah, they're the perverts. The Division wants you because the book kicked up a hornet's nest. And then we cut through this fucking stupid scene where Bryan Cranston, some guy is incompetent, and he's like, I have a shotgun named Clementine.
Oh.
And he loads up the Clementine, and he's like, my dad used to have this gun, and he would only kill when it was necessary, when it was an enemy, for food, or for incompetence. And the guy's like, well, it won't happen again. And he almost pulls the gun away, and he's like, it won't, and he shoots him. And I'm like, cool.
Cool.
Pretty lame.
Yeah. Yeah, that Clementine gun comes into play.
Oh, I'm
again.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
They wouldn't name a gun a thing unless it was going to come back. So we got driving with Ellie, and Aiden's sneezing, and he says he's allergic to cats. She's like, you lied to me. You said you like cats. He's like, here's the truth. I hired someone to steal the master file because these guys are evil, and I wanted to get up on them, and I felt bad. And so I hired this hacker to do it. And they cut to this hacker, and they're showing the flashback. And he's like,
he's got green hair, this
hacker.
He's
got green hair. In fact, the scene is weird because it's black and white, but he has green hair.
Yeah, they keep doing this. Yeah, they keep doing
this
thing
choice.
Where in the flashbacks are always in black and white with a splash of color.
Only with the hacker, though.
Not
oh, really?
Later
on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, the hacker says this stupid fucking line. He's like, whoa, I got all the stuff on you. I got all this stuff on these bad guys.
I mean, these lot make Darth Vader look like Mary Poppins.
Kill myself, Ethan. I want to kill myself. Like, this is bad. Like, this is obviously bad.
Oh, yeah, it's bad.
Who writes this shit, looks on a page mirror and go like, oh, yeah, let's give this to actors. Let's edit it. Let's, you know, let's, like, color correct it. Let's, like, finish it. Like,
yeah.
Can we kind of not come up with a better line for or maybe he doesn't say anything. Like, oh, my God.
Oh, man, it's got to be jokey. It's
this
gotta be
is
fun.
Awful.
This is an action comedy is what it says on Wikipedia.
It's so funny.
Did you laugh at all?
No.
I only laughed at all.
No. I at one point I was watching the movie and my wife came in as I was watching it and she started laughing. And I'm like, there's nothing funny about this movie. And she says, I was laughing at you. You look so angry.
That sounds accurate. I felt embarrassed whenever my partner walked in.
Yeah.
Because I'd just be like, I felt like I was watching a naughty porn movie because it was bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad. I don't want anyone to know I was watching this.
I don't want anyone to know.
Anyway, I'm
going to
post
movie.
A whole podcast that I'll talk about. It's going to go on track to be one of a very long podcast. Anyway, so the hacker disappeared. They're racing to find him. So both parties are trying to find this hacker. Where is he? And so he asks, like, so where is he? She's like, I don't fucking know, dude. You just captured me. I don't know what the future is. All right. He's like, well, we got to go to London because that's where you said the next thing was. So we got to get on this plane. She's like, I don't do planes. And there's a whole thing where she has to learn to breathe properly and get on the plane. And she's really nervous about talking
anxiety.
About it. She's got anxiety. So she's about ready to get take off, and she's nervous. She's like doing some breathing exercises. He's
gonna have
like,
the Mile High Club.
He's like, when you feel fear, remember to focus on the one thing that's real. Like planes are pretty safe; they're much safer than driving. Mm-hmm. And then focus on what's right in front of you. And he just like, why don't you drink some alcohol? And he just keeps distracting her. He's doing an okay job at it.
Right.
And then they're flying, and which I think is funny because only a second ago she was in a parachute. Something. Objectively way
scarier.
Fucking scary. She did pass out.
Yeah.
But still.
She didn't like it. She didn't choose
like
to
it.
Be in there.
She didn't choose to be in there. Then they're in London.
Aiden's
talking shit. He's like, cat ladies, you know, they always die alone. I was like, okay, I don't know why he said
that. Okay, J.D. Vance.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fucking freak.
And then they go to the Albert Memorial, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And she's like, why don't you just figure out what's going on in the next chapter? So he's like, why don't you just write the next chapter? How about that? So she sits down, she starts writing the next chapter. But someone's live streaming off their phone what she's doing because there's one of her fans sees her. And so the bad guys get a hold
sees
of that
live
footage.
Stream
and then
on
they
Twitch.
Start like getting a...
They're like, send bits to him.
send some bits. Send some poggers bits for this boring ass live stream of some lady just sitting in a bench.
Yeah, exactly.
So then they're like, they track her, they get her like lip reading or whatever, and they find out that she's writing the next chapter. And
who writes with their mouth open, like talking as they're like,
no, she's not writing the book, she's talking to Aiden.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So it's just,
I thought she was like writing,
no,
and
no,
then going,
she's
like,
just like,
so
she's
then
just like, she's like, all right, I'll write this part of the section. And then
got it, got it, got it. Okay,
that'd be so funny if they figured out what it was. So they're like, okay, she's trying to write the next chapter. Let's go ahead and get some agents on her.
Agents?
Some agents.
Got it. So not Asians?
Did I make it sound
like
I said
Sound like you said Asians.
Did not see the ethnicity because everyone in this movie wears a freaking weird mask. You know?
That's true.
Everyone's
wearing
a
mask. All the henchmen are wearing
all
masks.
All the henchmen are wearing masks, so you don't feel as bad when they kill them all,
That's
I guess.
That's fair, yeah. They don't have families.
The agents
go
in and they're being sent off there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trying to write the next chapter. They try to figure out where he is, and then we cut back to Argyle, who arrives at the rendezvous point in her book,
right? Because Argyle's not a real person, right?
And realizes this guy's a no-show. And then they go back to John Cena, and he's like, "Why would this guy give me a phone and not call?" And then they open up the phone, and there's a big encrypted chip on it, and he's like, "Why would you encrypt this big ass chip on a cheap phone?" And it's like, yeah, what's up with the phone? The phone's a thing.
Yeah, what's
hey,
up with the phone?
Aiden, what'd you put on the phone? He's like, I threw a phone out. It was bullshit. And she's like, oh, that was a clue about the satellites. It's like, oh, satellites? Wait, can you get a database? This part was confusing as fuck. It was just like, do you have a database on these dissect satellites in the area? How many satellites are in the UK and in this area? It's like, well, why would they want a satellite in this particular area and meet us here? It's like, oh, because clearly we need to know about the satellite in the closest area to this location so we could find out where the hacker is hiding.
Okay. I'm really trying to put this together in my brain.
Both everyone starts hacking the firewall, the fake dude, the fake people, Argyle, the real spy, Aiden, and then the evil spies are also trying to hack all at the same time. There's too many satellites. They do figure out it's that one. And they go to the closest address. So it's a super scary, like, empty house they go to explore it. And meanwhile, the special team is heading out to actually capture the two knuckleheads, and so they got 2 minutes and they're heading out. But at this moment, she's trying to walk around this like this very plain, open looking apartment, I guess, condo maybe.
Okay.
And it's very, she's ripping down the wallpaper and he's like, there's nothing here. Aiden's just like, this is stupid, there's nothing here. And she's like, no, you gotta think about it, he's leaving a clue. There's something in this wallpaper. And
the wallpaper.
She's ripping the wallpaper down. And he says, this is a waste of time. You know, I like waste my time by dancing. And he dances. And then he finds a hidden compartment in the floorboards. And they open up the lockbox. And he shoots it off. She was expecting him to lockpick it, but because he lockpicked her way into there, but no, he just shoots it off. And they find a little book with an anarchist logo on it, bro.
And that's how you know.
That's how you know, with this like money, IPs, job sites. There's a boat key in there. She knows it's a boat key. And he's like, how do you know that? It's like, I live on a lake. But she does. And also, I feel like he would know that if he's like
he's a spy,
but I guess not.
He's never driven a boat before as a spy.
Or he doesn't know that she doesn't live on a lake.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
So she's like, anarchist symbol. Anyway, can you figure this out? And then the dudes arrive to break in. They hide in the floorboards that they just ripped up. But now the cat starts meowing.
Oh no.
Oh no. So Aiden has to go and fucking bust out the floorboards and have a huge shootout happens. The fun music. It's pretty cool, I guess. But then the bad guy throws a grenade at Ellie,
mm-hmm.
and she grabs a grenade, and instead of throwing it away from anyone, she decides to throw it directly at Aiden. There's a
Why?
Whole other door she could have thrown it in. And then
she's
Aiden,
such a bad agent.
But then he gets fucking blown up, and he flies to the side. It's a flashbang, though, so he's not dead.
Right, but it's still not going to feel great.
It's not going to feel great.
It's probably going to get tinnitus.
It probably is, but he can't deal with that right now. He's a spy. So yeah, flashbang goes off. There's more dudes coming, and he's like, "All right, I'm gonna kill all these dudes that come. You need to stomp on their heads as you walk by." It's a stupid fucking scene.
Oh yes, this is where he teaches her the stomp and switch.
It's like a stomp and dance or something.
Yeah.
So you gotta stomp, and it's easy. You just stomp and you smash their heads in. And she's like, "Okay, I don't really know if I want to do that." He's like, "Just do it. Just follow my instructions. I'm gonna knock them all out. And you just gotta do that to make sure they're dead."
Mm-hmm.
So she goes. And he knocks
the
one
twist,
guy.
The twist.
Twist and step.
Twist and crush.
Twist and crush.
Yes.
And if one of them falls down in front of her and she's like, oh, okay, I'm going to do it. And she spends a good 30 seconds trying to get the courage to smash this guy's head in,
mm-hmm.
which is like fair. It's pretty messed up. That's
I was
going
to say, that'd be hard to do.
This is a lot different than like flying a plane. It's like taking a person's life by crushing their skull in.
Yeah, with
With your foot.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
It's hard.
But by the time she almost gets enough courage to work it up, he's already taken out every single person. She's like, what have you done? I was supposed to take everyone out and you're supposed to crush their heads, even then a single one. So she goes over. He's like, what's wrong? And she's like, I don't think it was necessary. And that bad guy starts waking up, pulling out a gun, and then he crushes his head.
Yeah.
He's like, it was necessary. All right, let's get out of here. So she just runs away to a completely different spot than I thought she would. She runs up to the roof.
Weird. Why wouldn't you run to the bottom floor?
Well, the bad guys are coming up that way, I guess.
Okay.
So, and then he realizes the escape plan. They're stuck on the roof, but there's
how are they going to get out of that?
Well, they see the boat. It's on the water, but then there's also like a bunch of stuff next to the boat. And he's like, this is it. This is clearly the hacker's escape plan.
Right.
You just have to jump onto
a boat.
No, not the boat, but the stuff next to it. It's soft.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you can land on that and then you just roll over and get on the boat. That's his escape plan. It's clear. She's like, I'm not trusting. I'm not jumping off this building. He's like, do you trust Alfie, the cat? And she's like, of course. So he grabs the cat out of her backpack, just throws the cat
nice
onto the thing. And this shitty CGI looking
cat
spins through the air and goes, and lands just fine. And she's like, oh my God. And so now
she must do the same
thing.
She
has to go
to
save
the
cat. And so they do a trust fall. And they do it, and they escape on a boat, and it's fine.
Okay, what a relief.
So Bryan Cranston's upset. They're like, oh, they got away, sir. And he's like, I'm upset. I got to go myself to Europe.
I'm in the empire business.
The empire business, exactly. I'm the one who knocks those cats over. Finally. And yeah, so she's also, we cut back to L.A. She's talking to a mirror. She realizes Argyle's in her head.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps talking to him like you're a character. And he says, she's like, go away, get out of my head. And he's like, you're the author. Word is my command. The cat scratches Aiden, and because he's being an asshole to the cat.
He fucking threw the cat off a fucking ceiling.
Well, the cat was being nice, and then he was like, go away, cat.
Oh.
And the cat scratches him.
Mm.
And he's like, all right, I guess I stink. I'll go take a shower. So he goes and take a shower. And then the cat tries to open the door of the shower, and Ellie's
the
like,
cat
no, no, no.
opens the door to the shower.
I guess. And I was like, oh, is this going to be a weird sexy scene?
Yeah.
And then Ellie's like, no, come here, cat. And then he starts hearing what he says. And she's on the phone with someone. And on the phone, he says things like, Ellie Conway needs a bullet in her head. When I bring it to your bring her to you, that's it. I'm done. And she's like, oh, shit. So she decides to run away from this guy because she can no longer trust him.
Fair.
Thing. Yeah, it sounds scary. And we cut to Chicago, and this guy...
Yeah, the Windy City!
This guy named Leonard is here and talks to her mom, who is here to ask Sugar for mom.
Sugar for mom.
Or was previously came over for sugar.
Got it.
She's like, no, I'm not coming over for sugar this time. Here's my cell phone. It's your daughter. Mm. I'm like, why didn't she call? I guess probably not to trace it back.
Probably. Because they're spies.
They're spies. Calls her mom and is like, hey.
Played by Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, I can't get home. I don't know who else to call.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, well, we'll come to you, daughter. Barry, book us some lights to London, England.
Ooh.
We'll come to you. But I don't understand why you're stuck there. Like, I'm very proud of you for getting on a plane, but like, we'll come figure it out. She's like, I can't tell you where to meet, but we know our meet. I bought you your 30th anniversary ticket to like a place, a nice place in London.
Mm-hmm.
We'll meet there in the same suite. And you will know that. And I know that, but other people will not know that.
Yes. Just me and her.
So they go. They immediately go and they go and they meet each other.
Mm.
Mom is there. She's like, Mom, I'm scared. This whole bullshit's happened. It's like, it's a tax thing. It's got to be a tax thing. We assume it's a tax thing, right? She's like, no, it's even worse. She's like, were you guys followed? And mom's like, no, why were we followed?
Mm.
And then at this point, I'm like, well, it's been weird that we still haven't seen the dad yet. It's
kind of
weird
dad.
That has happened.
Yeah. But, then, you know, maybe he's played by, I don't know, what's his name? Bob Odenkirk, you know?
He's played by Bob Odenkirk.
It's like Little Women, you know? He's exactly. going to show up and he's my like, little oh, my little Argyle.
My little Argyle.
Yeah.
And then she's like, where's dad? And then you hear a knock at the door. It's like, don't open the door. She's like, it's fine. It's your father. And then we see Bryan Cranston
bum,
there.
Bum, bum.
And the movie seems to be like, aren't you scared, audience?
And
then
you
see Bryce Dallas Howard's face, and she's like, Daddy! And you're like, whoa! And I was like, actually, I was like, okay.
Surprised. You're a little surprised.
I'm a little surprised. I'm like, okay. So far, this movie's been boring as hell. Now we got a little bit of meat to chew on.
Yeah, something to think through the earlier,
yeah,
you know,
like what happened earlier.
Maybe Bryan Cranston is a twin.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
So then it's like, Dad, I'm so sorry. The name of Russell Turner. He's like, oh, it's okay, honey. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, it's all going to be fine. And he gives her a massage. But like, they slowed everything down to make it be like, oh, my honey, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
And tell you, they didn't change the acting at all. They were just like, the director was like, let's make this slow, make it weird. I don't think it's foreboding enough.
Sure.
It's like, I feel like it's pretty fucking foreboding.
Yeah, we already know that we're not supposed to trust Bryan Cranston.
Yeah. So they play creepy music and everything during that time. Mm-hmm. So she explains everything to her mom and dad. Her mom's like, oh, you're on drugs, aren't you? And her dad's like, no. Let's look at this logbook that guy gave you. And so he looks at the logbook, and the dad like pushes off the cat. You know, he's a bad guy. He pushes
right.
off the cat.
Yeah.
And then he starts reading the book, puts his glasses on, reads the book.
Oh.
And then the mom is like, God forbid something happens to you. It'd be so crazy. I'm so glad you're alive. And then Bryce Dallas Howard said, same to you. I'm glad you and dad are both safe. And then, boom, the door opens up. It's Aiden and grabs Bryan Cranston. And puts a gun to his head.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh my God, what are you doing? He's like, I'm going to do this. She's not your dad. He's like, what are you talking about? He's not my dad. And he says, I'm going to kill him. And then Bryan Cranston's like, it's okay. If you kill me, the division will never stop. And at this point,
shit.
I was like, what the fuck?
Really dropping that whole thing in front of
pretty quick.
Yeah. Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah. I mean, how much longer are you going to keep this up? I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And then he's like, don't you see? He's not your dad. And that's not your mom. And then mom pulls out a gun and points. That's the part I see. I see the mom pull out the gun.
Yeah, mom's in on it too.
Point the gun to Ellie. And then suddenly she has a British accent.
Yes.
She's just like, eh, it's all right. Ma, it's all right, little daughter. You'll be fine.
Kevin!
Yeah. And then he then fucking knocks the dad out. Aiden does. Knocks
right.
him against like the concrete or whatever the tile is on the...
countertop,
and then he shoots the mom.
Whoa!
And she's like, "Oh my God!" He's like, "You have to trust me." I'm like, "I don't know if I would be able to trust someone at that point."
That's fair.
He fucking killed my parents.
He's really giving me no reason.
No real reason. Yeah. But she's like, "I guess not." So they get out. They start running away. She's like, "Oh no, my cat!" And he's like, "Leave the cat. You need to either go to the cat and live your weird lie, or you come to me and you learn the truth about what's going on."
Take the red pill.
Take the red pill. And I guess she's like, "All right, I need to know the truth." So the cat's gone. And I'm like, this cat's going to be eating the parents anyway. It'll be fine.
It's going to eat the parents?
Yeah, they're dead.
I love that movie, Eat the Parents.
Eat the Parents? Very raunchy, but...
Yeah. I've got nipples, Fokker. Couldn't you eat me?
Were they called the Fokkers the whole time?
Yeah. That's why Meet the Fokkers exists.
I know Meet
as
the
well.
Fokkers exists, but I thought that was like a joke.
No, that's... Ben Stiller's last name is Fokker.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know,
that's the joke. The whole time.
That's the joke. His last name is Fokker, and then he's like, "I don't want you to name. I don't want you to think his last name. His name is Fokker. That's weird." And then they have kids, and they call him Little Fokker. So that's the third movie. So tell me a little bit more about Argyle.
Wait,
what?
Have you seen these movies?
I've only seen the second one.
Such a random.
I've only seen Meet the Fokkers. I don't know why. We got it on DVD when it came out, but you know.
I remember watching Meet the Parents, I think, a little bit when I was a kid. And then I think it was one of those movies where my parents were like, you should go somewhere else.
Yeah, it's pretty adult. Yeah. Pretty
adult movie.
I only remember in the second one, there's a bit, because, like, you know, obviously, like, Ben Stiller and his family are all Jewish. His mom is played by, oh, God, Barbara Streisand. And his dad is played by, oh, no.
Robert De Niro?
Not Robert De Niro. No, Robert De Niro plays the dad of the daughter that he's marrying. Oh, God, who is his name? The guy from Kramer versus Kramer.
Kramer?
Yeah, Kramer. Okay. So, Harry! Anyway, they're like looking through like a photo book of his like birth, and then they're like, oh, what's this little thing? And then it's like, oh, it's his foreskin, because he's, you know, Jewish and he got a breast. And then they like throw the foreskin up in the air, and then it lands in like somebody's drink, and then they drink the foreskin.
What the fuck?
It's a weird movie, man.
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin, thank you so much, Dustin Hoffman. So that's a much better movie than Argyle.
It doesn't sound like it from what
it is. It is. Trust me on this one. Yeah. So anyway, so she ends up going with...
she ends up going with Aiden. And yeah, it's like, not your dad. And then he's like, hey, so how are you doing? She's like, not okay.
Yeah.
I'm not doing okay.
She's crying.
She's upset because she left her dad, her cat, her mom, her whole entire family. She's literally opening up a little locket that has a picture of all three of them in the locket. And he says, trust me, you need some rest.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I don't know. It sounds like bullshit. And then she looks in the mirror and she sees Argyle looking at her and she says, and then everything's going to be okay, says Argyle. And then she passes out and wakes up and they're in the countryside and it's Sam Iha.
That's right. So they arrive at a winery that is owned by Samuel L. Jackson. His character's name is Alfie.
Which isn't that the same name as the cat?
The cat, yes. Mm-hmm. So basically it's the thing of like, she's been writing all the things. She gave her cat name the name of Samuel Jackson.
Okay.
Okay. And she's
but
like,
how come Aiden's name isn't Argyle?
Because Aiden is not Argyle.
Oh.
And so then.
There's a real Argyle?
Yes. Yes. And you've actually already met Argyle.
What?
Who is Argyle?
I don't fucking know.
Because it's going to be revealed literally right now. So you have to tell me who you think it is.
Okay, who's Argyle? Okay,
and it's been hinted at.
Hinted at Argyle. Okay, so there's a John Cena guy. John Cena might be Aiden. No, there's no way, because Argyle really exists.
John Cena is Aiden. I'll give you that.
John Cena's Aiden?
Yeah.
Who's Argyle?
Yeah. I'll give you one more hint. So when they arrive... this is a big too much of a hint. Keep going. Who do you think Argyle?
I'm trying to think of other men in this movie.
Why do you think it's a man?
Oh, you're right. It's Dua Lipa.
So, Jackson says, the prodigal spy returns, he says. And then he says that he was the former director of the CIA. So he called out Bryan Cranston for being a bad guy. And everyone thought that he was a conspiracy theorist and he was laughed out of the CIA. So then he says... He's like, Ellie, you know, I don't know what this winery in France, you know, we grow Pinot Noir grapes and, you know, Pinot Noir is the oldest wine in the world. But, you know, what makes wine taste different is what the grapes have been through. You see, he says and then he says, you know, the past is persistent. You know, what is buried is waiting to be unearthed, but it's not.
He's in the dirt. Argyle's in the dirt. They have to unbury him.
It's so good. That is so good. And then he says, okay. Ellie, you are Agent Argyle.
What? Oh, because it's in her head.
You were a secret agent.
What?
In the past. You were a secret agent.
Okay.
Your memory was taken from you.
Oh.
And what you're writing is not prophecies, but actual events that happened to you when you were a spy. You went by the name Rachel Kyle. R. Kyle. Argyle.
Okay.
And so basically you are Agent Argyle the entire time, which you should have known because every time she looked in the mirror, she was talking to Argyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she immediately says this.
That means she was with Dua Lipa? That's pretty cool.
Okay. So honestly, this is kind of the biggest problem with the movie is like there is obviously like notes of like, has she been with women? Or like my biggest problem is like in the books, that means because John Cena is the Sam Rockwell character. And later on, it's revealed that Ellie and Sam Rockwell were like married, like Argyle.
What?
Yeah, they were in love, like deeply in love. And I'm like, why are we not getting fucking like John Cena and Argyle riding each other's dicks?
That'd be great.
I know. But yeah. We've never seen that. It's a real shame.
It's weird.
It's weird. And so then she says, this is BS, she says. She says, this is BS. And she yells at Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell's like, I miss Rachel. You know, you're not even a cat person. You're a dog person. And then she's like, I want to go home right now. So he goes to punch her, and then they fight. And her memory starts to come back, and she fights him off and, like, pulls her onto the ground.
I suddenly got my memory back during this moment when I was told about it.
Exactly. And then she says, I want to know everything. I'm like, that fucking scene was a waste of time. So Bryan Cranston says that he has been in the field and collected...
Wait, where's Bryan Cranston? Why?
He's alive.
What is he doing now?
He's back at headquarters of the evil headquarters.
Evil headquarters.
And so when he was, like, the looking...
Vision.
When he was, yes. When he was
Tom
looking
Clancy's
at...
the Vision.
That's right. When he was looking at those notes, when his character was wearing glasses, he's actually taking photos with them.
Oh, so the handsome guy.
Huh?
The handsome guy?
What? Bryan Cranston.
Oh, Bryan Cranston. He had glasses. You're right.
Bryan Cranston's character had glasses.
Sorry,
remember?
I was thinking about the other handsome guy.
That's fine. I know you're always thinking about the
handsome guy. I
realize
that she's probably not interested in that guy.
No, she isn't. No.
No.
No. So when Bryan Cranston got, like, what's it? He got the notebook that had all the codes in it or whatever.
Yeah.
He
the
took
IP addresses
photos
and stuff.
Of that.
Okay.
So then they can decode it. So they're all trying to decode what that notebook is, basically. They're all trying to figure it out. And so Cranston's just yelling at everyone. He's impatient. He's like, we need this decoded yesterday.
He's a mean guy. You could tell because in the first scene, he killed someone with a shotgun for being kind of stupid.
For being an idiot. So Sam Rockwell says that he's like, you know, we had to wait because if we didn't wait, then your memories would not come back naturally. And I'm like, doesn't sound like you waited. It sounds like you just sort of like told her whatever you needed to know.
This is a specific time. We have to do it until you're in imminent danger.
So here's the backstory, basically. They had a mission in Greece.
Oh, I didn't know I needed all this.
It doesn't.
That's the thing, is it's a cool enough experience. It's cool enough reveal.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually a pretty okay reveal, I feel.
That's fair.
But you don't need to go into details. You can kind
of,
it's
you can
more
sort
fun,
of piece
it's more
it together.
Fun to imagine it.
Well, the movie doesn't want you to. So she wound up in a coma. She woke up, the division found her. Bryan Cranston used his MK Ultra brainwashing technology in order to make her believe
that
she... What?
Do they call it that?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
And we actually see it. It's in like a weird like spiral thing on a laptop. And it makes her believe that she's Ellie and was not a secret agent ever. And then him and the chief psychops, who is played by Catherine O'Hara, poses as her parents, gives her a book to write her novels in order to collect secrets from her. That's the whole plan, basically.
This is almost interesting, but I kind of wish they just had, like, Catherine O'Hara pull up a fucking mask, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And be a different person. I don't know.
I agree with you, man. It's honestly fucking lame, and it's even worse when it's all, like, in
explained to
black
you.
And white, like flashback.
What is green hair? Does she have red hair? Do they make her hair red?
No, they make, like, there's pops of yellow for some reason.
Piss, because this movie's piss bad.
Yeah, it really is.
Oh, well, Argyle is, like, a yellow color. Cause
there you go.
The beginning of the movie starts off with a close-up of, like, a glass of... Well, Argyle's going to drink out of it. It's like a
piss
glass. It looks like piss.
Yeah. They also say that Alfie, Sam Jackson, trained them. And so when he was dismissed as a conspiracy theorist, Sam Rockwell immediately went to Alfie to like go like, we need to work together in order to.
So did they like figure out the 30th anniversary of their wedding and was like, that's a very specific memory we're going to implant into her?
I don't know.
They didn't explain that shit?
No, they did not explain the wedding thing. Okay. Also, Kiara is a real person. She died in Greece in action. But then, and this is the stupidest part of the entire fucking movie.
Oh boy,
okay?
I'm excited because we've been some pretty dumb stuff.
So Ellie is told that Kiara was a real person. She was a hacker, but then she died. She got shot in action. So all that stuff was real, basically.
R.I.P.
And then Ellie's like, you know, it's crazy. I was actually going to bring her back to life.
What?
Because this avid super fan sent me this email with this crazy twist idea. It was like this super elaborate idea for a twist. I got this email from a fan of mine, a super fan, and I was going to write it in the books. And Sam Rockwell's like, oh, that's pretty crazy. And she's like, yeah, but is it any crazier than any of the stuff that's happening today? They immediately write it off. And I'm like,
why don't you just write it?
Well, who wrote that? Who sent that? A random super fan suggested this and she was going to put it in the books. I'm like, so obviously that was Kiara, who lived, sent the email as a super fan to Ellie.
Oh, and they
going. And so as she's like, here's how I survived as a hint. And then Ellie was going to write it into the books because she did survive. Obviously, this is where this
that
is going.
Cool.
It is what happens.
Oh, okay.
It's exactly what fucking happens. Spoilers.
Oh, I don't know. That sounds cool to me.
I hated it. But the problem is they don't pick up on it immediately. They just like note it in this one moment. And then later on, it's like, remember that email that we got? Alfie finally decodes the message. The person holding onto the master file will only give it to Argyle. The person holding the master file's name is the Keeper. Ellie says she's like, I get anxiety and panic attacks. And Alfie's like, the only reason you get those is because you were conditioned to by Bryan Cranston.
Wow, that's fucked
and
up.
And I'm like, that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. You know, we're going to give you crippling anxiety.
Yeah, crippling anxiety.
It's a fun little bonus you give with this brainwashing of all your memories.
So she goes to the desert with Sam Rockwell. I just wrote down, Sam Rockwell seems bored as fuck. They dance.
He looks really bad in this movie.
He does look bad. Like he looks even worse. He gets this bad haircut in the last half of the movie.
It's an even worse haircut.
Even worse. And he's got like highlights in his hair too.
He just looks so fucking tired.
He looks really fucking tired.
Like he's been on that moon forever, you know?
He really has. So they dance at this palace waiting for their contact, the Keeper, to go there. Their song plays and it's a Beatles song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was made specifically for this movie.
What?
You didn't hear about this.
No.
Now and Then, which was a Beatles song that released this year, last year, using audio from dead John Lennon and audio from dead George Harrison.
What the fuck?
You didn't hear about this at all? This came out last year.
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So this movie. Yes. Oh my God!
This is her. This is John Lennon writing a note.
Yes.
Saying he lived, bitch.
Yeah, that's right. I'm alive. So yeah, I'll show it to you later. So their song plays. It's this song. They mentioned that they were married, but they can't kiss because they're in a palace. And by the way, I didn't bring this up, but the palace is like somewhere that is super
married. Thing is fucking stupid.
It's stupid. It doesn't.
It's
fucking
like
matter.
You can't have a woman be a spy with a man.
Here's the
as
other
a partner
bullshit
that's
thing,
not
right?
Like,
it's
oh,
like she's
married.
Supposed to be this awesome badass lady spy, and she literally has two men telling her how to be the best
and
spy.
And also
in the world.
Like
one that's imaginary.
Sure, your memory's bad or whatever. Sure, I get it. Well, that's her technically, right? Argyle's technically her.
Yeah.
But the thing that's dumb to me. Is like, why Aiden is just such a standoffish guy. This is like his fucking wife, dude.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, he's kind of a fucking asshole to her.
He is. Well, that's what he says. He says the hardest part about doing this mission was acting like he didn't love her the entire time.
But that's the thing. I feel like a better acting job, maybe because he's phoning it in.
Yeah, probably.
I felt like you could feel kind of like a warmth. Like he's like, oh, I care about you. He really just comes across as a complete
asshole. Tired and an asshole. So actually, it's funny. This actually reminds me of this movie called The Long Kiss Goodnight. Let me tell you about this movie really quick. It stars Samuel L. Jackson and Gina Davis. It came out in 1996. Okay. It is also written by the guy who wrote Iron Man 3, Ron directed Iron Man 3.
You really sold me.
Oh, God, what the fuck is the name of the movie? Don't fuck yourself.
Iron Man 3.
I know, not Iron Man 3 is a bad movie. Example. He also wrote The Good Guys. Shane Black.
A Good Guys is pretty good.
He wrote Good Guys, Lethal Weapon, Last Action Hero.
Okay, I'm going
to... I know. But he's very...
Mixed bag, okay.
He's a mixed bag, but he's very well known for being a writer. Okay, let me read you the synopsis really quick.
Please do.
Long Kiss Goodnight. School teacher and single mother Samantha... played by Gina Davis, lives an average suburban life until she begins having strange memories of an unexplained violence and discovers that she has physical skills that she never imagined. Hiring private detective, played by Samuel L. Jackson, to help her past, Samantha discovers that she's a well-trained government assassin who went missing after suffering a bout of amnesia and that her former handlers want her back in her employ, which is literally the same movie as this.
Yeah, but this one's secret. They don't tell you that.
But better.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Have you seen that movie?
No, but I've seen clips.
It's got to be better.
Yeah, I know. I've heard it's a classic that no one that's underrated. Basically, I've been meaning to see it. Anyway, so they dance. The Keeper meets with just Kyle. She's like, I just want to meet with Agent Argyle. And she's like, I can't do that. I'm so scared. But then she ends up doing it. And then she sees Agent Argyle in the mirror. And Agent Argyle's like, you don't need me anymore. You're amazing.
Okay.
So the Keeper's like, I'm suspicious of you. And so then she says, she's like, hey, well, I'm actually Agent Argyle. And you fucking are shit. And I'm amazing.
Why'd she imagine him with such a bad haircut?
I don't know, man. I don't know. So she looks at the information and she sees something very concerning about the people who are in the division.
Okay.
And then afterwards she goes to talk to Sam Rockwell, but sadly Catherine O'Hara is there. She's alive. And she's bad. And then they have tea together. And then finally she remembers everything. She's the one that shot the guy with the green hair. She is part of the division.
She's the bad guy.
She's part of the bad guys. She's been part of the bad guys the whole time. And the reason that she got in a coma was because she was in a room with the guy with the green hair, shot him, the room exploded, and then she jumped out of the window into the water, basically. And so
makes perfect sense.
Sure. The tea was drugged. Everyone falls asleep, then wakes up in, I don't know, wakes up. Bryan Cranston.
They wake up somewhere. It doesn't matter. They wake up in the street.
They wake up
hanging out. There's a homeless guy there. He's like, hey, you want some of this? Yeah. You want to eat some rats?
It's like the end of Inland Empire. They're on the street with a bunch of homeless people. Terry Crews is there.
Yeah. Hanging out. You're like, what's Terry Crews
doing there? She wakes
up. He's like, I'm a porn addiction. I got to stop.
Does he really?
I don't want to talk about him, man. That's really sad. I don't know why I brought it up.
Does he really?
Well, he did. I mean, he probably does.
Terry Crews had a porn addiction?
Well, okay. Define, does addiction ever go away?
No, that's the point of an addiction,
then,
right?
Yeah, it's something constantly suffering. He has a porn addiction, yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, dude.
Man. That's sad.
Talked about it and was like, damn, it's hard to get away from this porn addiction.
Gotta get away from
like,
that porn addiction. Yeah. Well,
sorry about that,
Mr. Terry Crews.
That's where I ended up on the Empire Streets.
So, she's at the division headquarters. Mm. Bryan Cranston is there burning the master file on fire. And she's like, instantly now she's evil. And she's like, I hate cats and I hate Sam Rockwell and I'm willing to get all the information that you need out of Sam Rockwell. I know I can do it. And then Bryan Cranston tests her.
I don't understand.
And picks up the cat and she's like, I'm a dog person. So he drops the cat like uncaringly. And
into the fire?
No, just drops him on the ground.
Oh, that's fucking lame. Cats can do that from anywhere.
I agree.
I thought he was going to be like, shoot him in the head or something.
No, doesn't do it. Just drops him to the ground, which honestly, he should have done that because, spoilers, she's just lying.
Yeah.
So she threatens Sam Rockwell and he says, he's like, I doubt your loyalty to the division because in the end you didn't kill me. And then she pulls a gun out and shoots him in the fucking heart.
Whoa.
Bryan Cranston is very surprised by this. And then
I love that reaction. Oh, I'm so surprised that you, my fake daughter, shot me in the heart.
Yeah. No. Shoots Sam Rockwell in the heart.
Oh,
killing him.
Oh, well, that's pretty surprising.
In the heart. Yeah. And Bryan Cranston's very surprised about
it. It's good thing he has a bulletproof vest on.
No, he doesn't. You see blood coming out of the chest and everything.
It's a good thing he has squibs on.
Nope, doesn't have squibs. Shot him through the heart.
It's a good thing he has a heart made of iron and he can absorb the bullet into his heart because he got it replaced when he was a spy and getting to the spy academy.
I love that you're coming up with all these reasons as to how he could die. He isn't dead. But the reason is so goddamn stupid. I actually had to talk to my wife who works in hearts and heart valves.
I'm looking literally at a heart
at a heart thing.
Right,
and I'll
now
point out how he lived because they explain it in great detail. Yeah, just hand me that over there.
We gotta go. It's the heart. It's a quick study guide from world's number one academic outline, Bar Charts, Inc.
Yes, and it's
multiple hearts cut in different pieces.
This is actually a perfect thing, and maybe you'll even take a little photo of me pointing at the thing that is going to be.
Do that.
So in a minute, because right now we're supposed to think that he's dead.
Oh yeah, he's dead.
Okay, so Bryan Cranston is surprised by this, and then she says, well, "There's no way that we could have gotten information out of him anyway. So we need to find because they want to find where Sam Rockwell is." Okay, So she's like, "I bet I can find Sam Rockwell by looking at like my phone history, and I'll like log that as to where he was." So she ends up using all that and trying to figure out like coordinating where Sam Rockwell is. And while she and Bryan Cranston and Catherine O'Hara off in another room, Sam Rockwell, wait, have I been saying Sam Rockwell or Samuel L. Jackson?
You've been saying Sam Rockwell.
Samuel L. Jackson. They've been trying to find where Samuel L. Jackson is.
Oh,
okay. So Sam Rockwell is dead in quotes, but comes back to
Aiden.
Life. Thank you. Aiden comes back to life, but he's in bad shape. and he beats up a couple of henchmen and then injects a bunch of adrenaline into himself.
Okay.
And then, should I call her Rachel or Ellie? Ellie. Is acting all evil to find where Samuel L. Jackson is. But then she plays her hand a little too early. She says, haha, even though I told you where Samuel L. Jackson is, what I was actually doing was sending him the master file. And I tricked you the entire time.
Classic.
And then, of course, she couldn't send the file because she didn't have clearance. And she revealed her hand a little too early. And now everyone knows that she was just double crossing them. Mm-hmm. And so then she beats up Bryan Cranston and Catherine O'Hara. She grabs her cat, runs off into the armory, and runs into Sam Rockwell, who's also in the armory. Now, here's what she says. She says, here's the thing. I did shoot you in the heart, mm-hmm. but I shot you in what she refers to as the vascular corridor.
Okay.
Now, the vascular corridor does not exist in the heart. Now, we looked this up online later. It is a medical term for like something that's much lower, like in your body, basically.
It's like your leg or
something. It's like near your legs or your hips. But the movie is referring to this part of your heart, which is a little hole that is in between a butt. So it's like if you were to look at the heart, it looks like you are shooting at the heart from the outside.
Uh-huh.
But what she did was she saw it in this 2-inch space, which she referred to as the vascular corridor,
uh-huh.
where a bullet should just be able to go through your rib cage, through that little hole, and then out the back of your spine without hitting any internal organs, except for just causing some blood, which she says, I just stopped the bleeding. If I stopped the bleeding, she literally just like sort of rubbed it with her hand.
Oh my God.
And the bleeding stopped. And I asked my wife, I was like, who works in hearts medically, like for a job. I'm like, is this something that you could do? And she's like, no, you'd hit the lungs. You'd hit like a sac that is protecting the heart on the outside.
There.
Like, even if you were to like miss the ribs and the spine, here's the other thing she was saying too, is like, not everyone's heart is in exactly the same place. Like, yeah. Based off of like the way that you like gain weight, based off of like where all the, like, she's like, there's no way to know where the heart is without doing.
I do like though that out of all the bullshit and dumb things on here, this is the one thing we're like, we got you.
We know
we
this
got
one
you.
Thing
we got
is
you,
fucking bullshit.
We got, this is super bullshit.
It was so.
But yeah, it makes sense. Like, you can't figure out like where someone, you're right. Everyone
from
goes
the outside
place
of the body.
You don't know where a fucking heart is. It could be hanging out in a weird spot.
So they're in the armory and they're like, all right, we got to get out of here because now Bryan Cranston is going to be sending everyone at us. So there's this big shootout that looks like a dance. And then they run into a room where the ground is covered in crude oil. And Ellie attaches knives to her boots so she can skate on the oil, killing all the henchmen.
What? On the oil?
Yes.
Crude oil.
On crude oil. She skates on the oil because they can't shoot, because if they shoot, it might cause sparks. And
yeah, but how do you skate on oil?
By putting knives on the bottom of your boots and then skating
on
the oil.
Is oil that thick?
According to this movie, it is.
I guess I never like touched oil.
It's crude oil. And so she's skating on it, but then a bunch of other henchmen come by and then she just starts shooting at them. I'm like, well, what the fuck was the point of that shit earlier? And then the cat winks at everyone and I hated it. I hated that the cat winked.
They saw that this cat is so corny.
Yeah.
It's the corniest cat in the world.
Bryan Cranston grabs a shotgun that has Clementine on it.
Clementine.
And then she
meets best character from Walking Dead.
That's right. And then he meets up with Sam Rockwell and Argyle. Ellie. In the server room, because they're trying to send the file now from the server room, but Cranston's like, the only way to send it is by using a retina scanner, and the only retina that it will scan is my eyes. And then the Alfie, the cat, starts freaking out and jumps out of the backpack and starts just clawing out Bryan Cranston's face.
Wow.
Ruining his eyes. So I'm like, fucking asshole cat, you fucked up the eyes. So now Cranston is dead. But now they have to go somewhere else in order to send the file. So then they go straight directly to a satellite.
Where do they send the files to again?
They're trying to send it to Samuel Jackson.
Okay, I got it.
Because then when he has the master file of all the people that were part of the division, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
good guys win.
Good guys win.
So they go straight to the satellite. They use the satellite directly to send the information to download. But it takes very long to download. And then Catherine O'Hara shows up and she uses her brainwashing skills to Manchurian candidate Ellie and has her target Rockwell, Aiden. And so she ends up pointing a gun at Aiden and fighting him because she's under MK Ultra mind control. She's been programmed and she starts beating him up and he can't hurt her because he loves her so much. And she's about to do the twist and crush. She's about to do the twist and crush, and then all of a sudden, a random person just knocks Catherine O'Hara over the head, knocking her out. She drops a music box, which is the thing that's being used for the programming, and Ellie snaps out of it. And who do you think is the person that knocked
Catherine? Samuel Jackson.
No.
The cat.
No.
Argyle.
No.
God, run out of people. Aiden?
No. Aiden was the one that was being...
Aiden's on my die. Yeah.
I'll stop it because this episode's probably getting too long. It's Kiara. She didn't die.
Oh, she didn't die.
She was the one, as I said before, that sent in the email telling her how she lived. So she was alive. And she goes into his whole fucking explanation as to how she's there and how she knew. And I'm like, you're a fucking spy. I can intuit how you wound up on the fucking ship. So anyway, I wrote down in all caps, and already this is terrible. I am wasting my life. the division ship blows up. Ellie and Rockwell kiss on a boat, and then the camera like sort of like floats over to the giant like ship that is like blowing up, and then it comes back down, and now it's Argyle and John Cena. And we're now back.
Are they
in
kissing?
The book. There aren't, and I was so upset. I was like, why aren't they kissing? And so Argyle is a man now, and John Cena is there. I wrote down, why aren't they kissing
Argyle cowards? Is a man now.
Yeah.
Great line.
And so then she's written her final book, and it's at a book signing. And Alfie apparently was awarded the CIA Medal of Honor. And Kiara is...
The cat or
who do you think?
The agent.
Who do you think?
Sam Jackson.
Yes.
Okay. I thought the cat might have got an award.
Kiara became the next Steve Jobs. And again, it's like, love women being compared to men.
She did also say earlier in the beginning when she was doing the hacking thing, she's like, when she was going to save Argyle in the very first scene, she's like, I'm the lady who prevented being the next Steve Jobs so I could save his sorry ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now she becomes the next Steve Jobs.
But again, it's like, I love comparing women
also,
to men.
Also, I love that it's produced by Apple. And
I didn't even think about that too. Yeah,
which
that's true.
Very dumb.
So, and then they're at a book signing, and then one of the fans raises his hand, and we catch the fan. Who do you think the fan is played by? I'm going to stop. It's Henry Cavill, and he's wearing an awful wig, and everyone's in shock because that's Agent Argyle. That's what Agent Argyle looks like in the books. How could that be just a guy? Yeah. And he says, I don't have a question, but maybe you've got a couple questions for me. And then the credits start rolling. And then we get a mid-credit sequence. This sequence was incomprehensible.
As someone who's not seen
The Kingsman.
The latest Kingsman movies.
So it's a Kingsman bar or like pub. And they go in. So we go into the Kingsman pub, and there's a young man there and a guy behind the counter. And the young man orders some kind of special spy drink.
I get the Kingsman mixed up with the John Wick sequels.
That's fair.
Because I'm always like,
they're all spies.
They have that, like,
or whatever.
Or something. And they have the like weird
hotel
club thing sort of going on. I always get those mixed up.
Connettle,
I've only seen the first one of John Wick, so I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway.
So he orders a special spy drink. So the bartender gives him a box, and inside the box is a gun. And then he goes, man, you must be in some real trouble. And he goes, yeah, I'm in some real trouble. You could say that. My name is Audrey. Audrey Argyle. And then it cuts to a poster, and it says, book one, the movie, coming soon.
What?
So they're making another Argyle movie based off of another book.
I don't know if they're going
I don't think. I really don't think they are
either.
Seems
like it did pretty fucking bad in the box office.
Yeah.
I didn't say how much it cost, but it made $96 million. It feels like it costs more. It
definitely cost more than $96 million.
Or at least cost pretty close to it, so it's like not a very profitable movie.
Bad film. It's a bad movie. It was unwatchable. I had a bad time.
It was pretty fucking bad, dude.
I really hated it.
Again, not like not completely incompetent of a movie, but just enough where it's like so boring and so uninteresting that it slips into the part of your brain where it's just like, this is nothing. I'm wasting my time with this like mid-ass bullshit. Like at least bad movies, sometimes they have fun things you can pull out of them.
Yeah.
But because this is such a bland movie, there's like the twist stuff was kind of interesting. The part where she kind of turns into like, oh, she's a real agent. Kind of fun. Didn't really did a lot with it though.
Yeah.
Didn't have John Cena kiss Henry Cavill,
which is a real
huge
shame.
Missed opportunity.
Real shame.
Yeah,
I think the biggest problem too is like it reminds me of like Red One, right? Where it's like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we? What are you offering to me here?
Right.
I've seen all this shit before. I've seen it better. I've seen it in much better.
At least
looking.
Red One.
No.
No. Listen, Red One, reimagined, classic tropes into a different experience.
Sure.
So it was slightly better, but it was not very good. I still don't think it was a very good movie, but it was at least, this was just like trope after trope after trope. And
so
none of them
bad,
were
dude.
Interesting.
It was so
it's
bad.
Very funny seeing that Samuel Jackson, especially after we just watched Stakes on a Plane.
Yes.
Samuel Jackson is going back and being like, I'm only going to be Director Fury from the Marvel movies.
Is he really?
Well, I mean, it feels like he's going to
be. Oh, yeah,
like,
that's what he's doing here.
He just
yeah.
sits in the back and doesn't do anything. While Stakes on a Plane, he's in the shit. He's killing snakes.
Yeah.
He's
getting
them.
Sweaty.
He's getting sweaty and nasty. And this, he's like, I'm just going to be in the back. Send me your files.
There was one hysterical moment. Like, they keep cutting to him, like, at his, like, vineyard. And it's like him watching, like, basketball. He's just like, yeah, I love basketball. And then, like, he's getting, like, the
collecting those checks, dude.
Then he's getting the upload of the file. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting the file. And then the file stops loading. He goes, God damn it, I want my fucking file. And then it comes back again. He's like, yeah, the file's coming. And then it stops loading. And he's like, what in the fuck is going on? I'm like, dude, is this really what Sam Jackson wants to be doing here at this point in his career? Maybe, probably. It's pretty easy. But like, because he really was only in one or two sets. If you really think about it, he's really only in a couple of sets.
But he was also in the Kingsman movies, wasn't he? Am I wrong?
I don't know. Was he? I don't watch the later ones. Probably was. He felt like he was. Was he playing the same guy? Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a bad movie. I would definitely not recommend it. It was a really fucking awful film. Yeah. Don't watch it. It's really, really bad.
Yeah, he was in the first Kingsman movie.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, you just forgot about him.
It's been a really long time.
It's been a while.
Yeah, don't watch this fucking
movie.
It's
rough. It's bad. It's
bad.
It's honestly surprising.
It also is just ugly. Like, that's the other problem.
Yeah,
it's real ugly.
Which is funny because it's so expensive looking, but it looks bad. It's kind of like that Riverdale problem where it's like, this show looks expensive, but not good.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, guys, wouldn't recommend it. Are you a spy? Email us.
NeedTheHeroPodcast.com.
Find us on
involved.
Facebook.
We need some excitement around here.
Blue Sky, or you can find us on Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it on the show no matter what it says, even if it is some secret code that will put us in mortal danger.
We were talking about cats and how they're animated.
Yeah.
Remember Sam Jackson was in the Garfield animated movie with Chris Pratt.
I forgot that he was in that. Man, Sam Jackson, he works.
He's definitely one of those guys who's like, I'll take a job.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And
I need to get that money and I'll bring it. I'm not going to not work.
No. He doesn't need to work that hard either.
No,
yeah.
He really doesn't. No. He really doesn't. Yeah. This was disappointing. But, you know, maybe in the future we can watch some spy movies that maybe aren't so disappointing and maybe it could be a little
bit
better.
Maybe instrumental to the spy genre.
Yeah, we haven't just, I mean, I think the thing for me and you is we just haven't really watched a lot of spy movies.
That's true.
That's really our genre really like go towards. Like, have you seen The Bourne Identity?
I saw the first one, maybe the second one.
I've watched all of Bourne Identity. So
oh,
maybe
that's
I'm more
cool.
of a spy expert than you.
A little bit more.
I think it's probably the only big spy franchise I can really think of. That
I mean,
I've
there's
seen.
Definitely like Austin Powers is a pretty big one.
Yeah, but that's like a parody
of
another
what?
One. I don't know.
Good night, everybody.
'Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.